The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Bahati Mutisia for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Teen Vogue and the Teen Magazine. The first article is from the Teen Magazine, and it's titled 10 Things That Are Misunderstood About Gen Z Teens. Teenagers are young adults who begin transitioning to become responsible adults. Teenage years are the most confusing, yet simple years. Most adults don't understand the perspectives of teens, and sometimes they perceive it in the wrong way. "Oh, they're so lazy, and they sleep all day," cry the parents. On the other hand, teenagers just want to be understood. Obviously, neither side is 100% correct, because adults think that they're right and as they have lived longer, and teenagers think that they're right because they live in the present and have more knowledge about the real world. Unfortunately, there are a lot of things adults don't understand when it comes to teenagers. What seems normal to adults doesn't seem normal to teens, and vice versa. Due to the age difference, adults and teenagers don't get along naturally. Both generations have distinct perceptions of the real world that can be a little difficult to follow. Teenagers are still trying to figure out who they are, while parents and adults have already gone through that phase. But sometimes they forget what it's like to be young. That is the main reason why they don't understand each other. Below are 10 things that adults don't understand about teens. Number 1, our lives are not stress-free. Isn't it frustrating when you come home after 7 hours of hard work and de-stress, and you abruptly get told that you have nothing to stress about because you're so young? We may not be working for hours to earn money to financially support our family or constantly worry about raising the kids, but we still have our own sets of problems, especially when parents and teachers put all the expectations on our shoulders to do good. You feel extremely overwhelmed and lost a lot. And the most important thing is, we also have a life that goes beyond the classroom and school. Along with that, we also care about our future and careers. Number 2, we are not antisocial. Teenagers always get told and encouraged to meet new people and expand their friend circle, and at times we are perfectly okay with doing that. However, sometimes we aren't open to talking to new people. Nowadays, everything is virtual, including making friends. Teenagers spend a lot of time on social media and are able to find their own community. Number 3, we are aware of events happening around the world. This connects to what I said in the previous statement. Since teens spend much of their time chatting with their friends online, adults think we don't know any of the current events happening globally, but we do. In fact, social media are often the place for spreading awareness and important news. We learn a lot from others, and we can also do the same for those who don't watch the news. Number 4, it's not disrespectful to voice our opinions. How many of you teens have been shushed violently every time you try to explain your point of view because it's seen as disrespectful? As we get older, we start to understand things that we didn't know before. We also acknowledge things in our homes and environments that are wrong. When we try to explain ourselves, it's not to insult the adults, but to feel heard and noticed. Number 5, we acknowledge your struggles. Our parents give up their own dreams and lives in order for us to have a beautiful and successful life. While growing up, we often hear about those struggles because they talk about it often, which is good because it allows us to understand their struggles. However, sometimes they may say it in a manner that indicates that we are not appreciating them enough or being ungrateful. We are completely aware of the obstacles they faced growing up. Number 6, technologies are not only for social media. Technologies have a lot of use for people any age. Wanting a phone or a laptop doesn't mean that we only use it for entertainment. We can use it for education and other activities. I mean, in the last 2 years, everyone has been working remotely, and it shows how much can be done from behind a screen. Number 7. We are not moody. Ah, the stereotype we get categorized into. Teenagers get treated like children, and we're expected to behave like mature adults, but when we do so, we get called disrespectful or moody. It can be hard for teens to navigate the real world with the whole confusion of who they're supposed to be. With all the expectations on our backs, it can get really lonely and depressing. So there are often changes in our moods that occur unexpectedly. Number 8. We understand how the real world works. Parents try to teach us morals and values that used to fit the society that they grew up in. But what they fail to realize is that that world no longer exists. Time has changed, and so have people. We are actually dealing with a new society now. We meet different people at school. We learn new things. We socialize. We know. Number 9. The stigma around teenage mental health. There is a lot of stigma around teenage mental health. Just because we are young and naive doesn't mean that we do not get stressed or have anxiety. In fact, teens experience anxiety more than adults. As mentioned earlier, teenagers have to worry about their school, grades, and life outside of school, which often leads to severe anxiety and depression. Nonetheless, when they manage to pluck up the nerve and the courage to talk about their mental health, they get told, "You're so young, you have nothing to worry about." Often, these teenagers grow up into adults who refuse any help from others because they never learned how to. Needing alone time. Maybe this is the introvert in me, but alone time is an essential need that most teenagers have. Again, that doesn't mean we are antisocial. Sometimes we just prefer to remain in a calm and laid-back environment with just ourselves. It's quite soothing if you ask me. Socializing isn't always fun, and forcing us to constantly be with people can make us distance ourselves even further. Teenagers still have a lot to learn in order to become stable and mature adults. Adults should allow us to make mistakes and guide us to the right path so the mistakes aren't repeated. Parenting a teenager is not easy. It's not always because they're difficult. Sometimes they just need a place to express themselves. Adults and parents can try to understand teenagers by allowing empathy and compassion. After all, we're all still young and have many things to learn. This article was written by Mehek Azra, who is a junior. She is a cool introvert and spends most of her time at home. Mehek loves to read in her free time and uses writing as a medium to express herself. She also has a wholesome humor. The next article is from Teen Vogue, titled, "What Long COVID Looks Like in Teens and Young Adults." This article was written by Sunaya Dasgupta Mueller and was published August 12, 2021. While older adults seem to be at highest risk of severe complications and death from COVID-19, a growing number of studies suggest that, though not common, some young adults and teens are also experiencing detrimental long-term effects of the disease. "My body is constantly fighting against me," says 23-year-old Emma Stump from Boston, who is currently experiencing what have been diagnosed as long COVID symptoms, the name given to a collection of post-COVID conditions that still aren't well understood by doctors. "It is super frustrating." Long COVID symptoms, per the CDC, are those which develop 4 or more weeks after first being infected with the virus that causes COVID-19. Long COVID patients can experience symptoms like chronic fatigue, brain fog, shortness of breath, and chest pain, according to Trigeni Simonu, MD and a pediatric pulmonologist and lead pulmonary expert at a recently established long COVID clinic at Boston Children's Hospital. While existing cases of long COVID among young people are becoming more known, it's still unclear how many young people experience the lingering disease and what risk it imposes. Stump, who believed she had COVID in March of 2020, before tests were commonly available, began developing what are believed to be long COVID symptoms in mid-January of 2021, after she was vaccinated. Whenever I was exercising and my heart rate increased, I started breaking out in hives. If there is a severe temperature change, like if I'm swimming, my body will respond like I'm having an allergic reaction, she says. If I am very stressed or overworked, I get extremely fatigued and am more inclined to have breakouts. I have a flushed face and I will be warm or have chills. People think I'm a drama queen. I don't want people to think I'm extra and making a big deal out of this, but it is a big deal. Ashish Jha, MD and MPH, physician and dean of public health at Brown University, explains that experts have multiple theories about why some develop post-COVID conditions, one being the persistence of a viral reservoir in long COVID patients. Some part of your body continues to have the virus, and your immune system is not able to clear it. That is why people continue to have symptoms of an infection, like fevers or fatigue. Another theory is that it is purely immunological and autoimmune, says Jha. Your body has an immunologic reaction to the virus, but then it starts having reactions to your own native tissue. But the truth is, we don't know. Simoneau says symptoms of long COVID are similar in children, teens, and adults, but long COVID can be particularly discouraging to young adults who are high-achieving athletes. For me, it was super frustrating because I was a very competitive athlete, says Stump, who was a synchronized swimmer. After having this, just going for a walk, I would get so fatigued. It just doesn't make sense. I have extreme fatigue and joint pain. I can't walk for too long, and my whole body shuts down. Similarly, 17-year-old Elizabeth Edson from Tennessee, a competitive volleyball and basketball player, began developing long COVID symptoms about a month after having COVID in December of 2020. I have increased resting and active heart rate, and I get fatigued very quickly. Simoneau expresses concern for the mental health effects of long COVID in teens and young adults. Many of these patients had a history prior to their COVID infection of anxiety or depression, and with long COVID, that gets amplified. People think I am a drama queen, says Stump. I don't want people to think I'm extra and making a big deal out of this, but it is a big deal. 13-year-old Lily Silva from Millis, Massachusetts, began developing long COVID symptoms a few weeks after they had COVID in March of 2020. Silva's symptoms include memory loss, brain fog, extreme joint pain, appetite issues, vertigo, and skin rashes. Mental health has gone downhill, Silva says. As far as physical health goes, I have extreme fatigue and joint pain. I can't walk for too long, and my whole body shuts down. Talking is harder. My brain is picky about what I eat, and my stomach rejects different foods. It's really hard to deal with. According to Simoneau, treatments of long COVID include working with pain specialists, physical therapists, and physicians, but Simoneau still faces challenges while treating post-COVID patients. The symptoms are so vague and we lack diagnostic tools. We have all these patients come in and we don't know that it is post-COVID, Simoneau said. Their symptoms may seem consistent with a post-viral process and their antibodies may be positive, so we go with that. But we don't know for sure what defines it or how to diagnose it. We don't have clear clinical criteria, adds Jha. We don't know how long our symptoms have to persist before they are called long COVID. After getting a viral infection, lots of people can feel pretty lousy for weeks. Is that enough, or do you have to wait months? What symptoms should we be looking for? If you are a teen or a young person and you are not yet vaccinated, get vaccinated. Still, Stump and Silva express hope for the future. I hope it's something that we will study more and have more information about in the future, says Stump. long COVID is something we should pay attention to. I really, really hope that I get better, says Silva. I really hope that I can actually walk around and do normal stuff again. Ja looks to vaccines as a possible way to mitigate the impact of long COVID. It's not definitive data, but there is some data that getting vaccinated can help against long COVID. If you have long COVID and haven't gotten vaccinated yet, you should. Regardless of whether you have long COVID or have never had COVID, Ja emphasized the importance of getting vaccinated. If you're a teen or a young person, Ja urges, and you're not yet vaccinated, get vaccinated. The next article is from the Teen magazine, and it's titled, Four Student-Led Initiatives You Should Be Keeping Up With. Teenagers are bombarded by news headlines regarding major issues daily. Unsurprisingly, some teens feel like they have no control over prominent problems that significantly impact their lives. However, a handful of teenagers refuse to stay silent about matters that they are extremely passionate about. Their diligence and drive to combat issues have led them to create their own initiatives. The accomplishments of the following initiatives are remarkable, and supporting their work will help them continue to make a difference. Number one, the Homegirl Project. In today's culture, the word bee, slut, cow, hussy, and whore, among many others, are normalized and used casually. These slurs, however, are not only offensive, but also reiterate harmful ideas. For instance, whore and slut are insults that shame female sexuality. This reinforces the idea that promiscuous women are impure or nasty. Malavika Kanan was tired of hearing these words, but she loved the slang term homegirl, a term often used by girls to support other girls. Created in 2018, the Homegirl Project started as a blog focusing on giving young women of color a voice. However, the Homegirl Project did not stop there. The youth-led initiative now offers an annual membership program, a community-sourced resource network, and a political fellowship program. As the Homegirl Project states, "We don't just want a seat at the table where decisions are made. We want to build our own table, one that's big enough for us all." You can keep up with the Homegirl Project at homegirlproject.org and at Homegirl Project. Number two, Urban Beat. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, in 2017, adolescents in all demographic groups consume too few fruits and vegetables. They reported that 7.1% met fruit intake recommendations and 2% met vegetable intake recommendations. These statistics are even lower among low-income youth. To most of us, biting into a sweet, crispy apple or eating baby carrots with our lunch is nothing special. Unfortunately, this is not the same for underserved people. But Chander Payne has decided to take action on the issue. After noticing the lack of fresh produce at his school, Chander decided to found Urban Beet to grow fresh food. His school-based farms have provided over 2,500 pounds of produce for homeless youth. As a 2020 Gloria Barron Prize for Young Heroes recipient, Chander has stated, "I envision a world where I walk into an underserved neighborhood and see colorful beets and tomatoes growing. A world where every kid has a choice. I'm sorry, where every kid has a close relationship with living soil and fresh food." You can learn more about Urban Beet at urbanbeet.org and at Urban Beet DC. Number three, the We Can't Serve movement. At the age of 7, after her diagnosis with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Grace Callwood began her work to help children who are homeless, sick, and in foster care. Grace, not being able to attend school, donated her back-to-school clothes to young girls in need. This one generous act spiraled into the creation of the We Can Serve movement. Grace's nonprofit organization has donated more than $15,000 in grants and in addition, $50,000 in products to organizations across Ohio, Maryland, and Delaware. The We Can Serve movement is also determined towards empowering teens to take action. As the movement explains, our vision is to change the way adults think about youth leadership in philanthropic and business communities by influencing a generation of social change makers determined to provide solutions that bring vulnerable children happiness swiftly. These efforts to emphasize the importance of teen activism are a direct result of Grace's experience. She says, "I've realized I can dream big and accomplish a lot at a young age. I've learned that I just have to go for it and believe in my vision and team. There's no age limit on service." You can support the We Can Serve movement at wecanserve.org and at We Can Serve, and that is spelled WECANCERVE, We Can Serve. Number 4, read, repeat. According to the Literacy Project, in low-income neighborhoods, the ratio of books per child is one age-appropriate book for every 300 children. Chase Hartman and Vance Tomasi have been on a mission to change the status quo. Chase and Vance started Read.Repeat. The initiative has donated more than 110,000 books to families, schools, group homes, hospitals, and libraries over the past couple years. Chase and Vance first began by hosting a drive that gathered 500 books for homeless families. Since then, Read.Repeat has partnered with local schools to distribute old books. Additionally, they have organized book drives with sports teams, school clubs, and Boy Scout troops. Chase and Vance's work has provided a large number of children with the tools they need to excel in school and beyond. As Vance has stated, books help inspire kids to do great things, and great things help the world. You can keep up with Read.Repeat at readrepeat.org or at readrepeat.org. It is refreshing to see teenagers getting involved in issues that many are oblivious to. A countless number of people do not see the severity of a problem if they are not affected by it. We cannot expect problems around the world to disappear and go away. The myriad of global issues will only be eradicated and resolved if there are passionate individuals who are striving to make a change. This article was written by Sophini Avedisian. She is a freshman at Westridge School for Girls. She is the author of Stand Tall, a book that highlights women's rights issues, and editor for Polyphony Lit, and a Los Angeles Times High School Insider. During her free time, Sophini enjoys reading, playing soccer, and spending time with family and friends. And the last article is from Teen Vogue, titled, "Britney Spears' dad, Jamie, agrees to step down from conservatorship, though the decision isn't effective immediately." This article is by P. Claire Dotson and was published August 12, 2021. After 13 years, it looks as though Britney Spears' father, Jamie Spears, will no longer be her conservator, Variety reported on August 12th. He made clear, however, that his decision to step down isn't immediately effective, and he will do so when the time is right, according to court filing reports in the New York Times. The move comes in response to Britney's attorney petitioning to have Jamie Spears suspended or removed from the conservatorship. For more than a decade, Jamie has been in charge of Britney's estate and, in turn, her finances. Per a court document Variety shared, his lawyer wrote, "They are, in fact, no actual grounds for suspending or removing Mr. Spears as the conservator of the estate under Probate Code Section 2650, and it is highly debatable whether a change in conservator at this time would be in Ms. Spears' best interest. Nevertheless, even as Mr. Spears is the unremitting target of unjustified attacks, he does not believe that a public battle with his daughter over his continuing service as her conservator would be in her best interest. Brittany has argued against that first point, taking the stand in a virtual court hearing back in June to share her experiences under the conservatorship. I want to be heard. I want changes, and I want changes going forward. I deserve changes. I just want my life back. It's been 13 years, and it's enough, she said at the time. It's doing me way more harm than good. I feel ganged up on, and I feel bullied, and I feel left out and alone. I'm tired of feeling alone. Jamie Spears' decision to eventually step down from the conservatorship is a meaningful moment for those who took part in the Free Britney campaign, which has grown over the years and has long supported Britney in her battle for independence. While this does not mean an end to the conservatorship just yet, it does appear that Jamie Spears is currently preparing for an orderly transition to a new conservator, court documents say. Britney's attorney, Matthew Rosengart, shared a statement with Variety after Jamie Spears' filing announcing his decision. I announced in court on July 14th that after 13 years of the status quo, it was time for Mr. Spears to be suspended or removed as conservator, and that my firm and I would move aggressively and expeditiously for that outcome, Rosengart stated. 12 days later, my firm filed a petition for Mr. Spears' suspension and removal based on strong, insurmountable legal grounds, which were unequivocally supported by the law and all parties involved, including Jody Montgomery, Britney Spears, and her medical team. We are pleased that Ms. Spears and her lawyers have today conceded in a filing that he must be removed. It is vindication for Britney. We are disappointed, however, by their ongoing shameful and reprehensible attacks on Ms. Spears and others. Rosengart's statement continues. We look forward to continuing our vigorous investigation into the conduct of Mr. Spears and others for over the past 13 years while he reaped millions of dollars from his daughter's estate. And I look forward to taking Mr. Spears' sworn deposition in the near future. In the interim, rather than making false accusations and taking cheap shots at his own daughter, Mr. Spears should remain silent and step aside immediately. Well, we have now run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Bahati Mutisia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended to be intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.